Daven Ma'ariv at 10:15. Just there's two examples from last week's parsha. One really from 2 weeks ago's parsha about two very famous examples that we know of where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really live up to his name. Right? We know Moshe Rabbeinu is the Avi Avos HaNeviim, but he's also the Avi Avos HaRabbanim. He's the original rabbi, Rabbi Moshe. Right? He gave us the Torah. He paskened all the shilas, and he dealt with all of the different teachings of Torah that were necessary. Everything came from him, and he would teach Aaron, and Aaron would teach his sons, and the sons would teach the other Kohanim, and then it would trickle down, and everybody would teach, and eventually the Torah would get to all of Klal Yisrael. However, there are a few times in the Torah where it becomes very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the halacha, or if he knew it, he wasn't able to act on it for some reason, and others had to pick up the slack on his behalf. And Rashi points this out at both times. One of them is at the end of Parshas Balak, where the Gemara in Chelek tells us the story, and Rashi, you know, brings it in his Pirush on Chumash, that the Maisa that was happening with all the Jewish people worshipping Baal Peor and being Baal Arayos in public, and Zimri ben Salu went with this woman Cosby Bas Tzur, and he was committing Averos in public, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were crying, and they didn't know what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu was crying in the Pesach Ol Moed, and he didn't know what to do. And Pinchas came over to him and he said, Rebbe, didn't you teach us that the halacha is a bol aramis, like kanoim poginbo? That if this somebody commits such an avera in public, you're allowed to kill them in order to stop the avera? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, you're right. After Pinchas reminded him, he says, yeah, we did say that and cheered. Right? So he says, we did discuss that, and thank you for telling me. So he says, since you were the one who brought this halacha to our attention, you should be the one to carry it out. And Pinchas went and he carried out the halacha of Kano and Poginbo, and he stopped the Magefa. He was the one responsible for saving literally tens of thousands of Jewish lives. And similarly, in last week's parsha, so we have the Benos Tzlafchad. They wanted to inherit land in Eretz Yisrael, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they demanded a nachla, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the halacha. He said, you have a decent taina, I hear what you're saying. He didn't dismiss them. He didn't say, you're not right. It's not going to be yours. You're not going to get the nachla. But instead, he said, I hear what you're saying. It's a very legitimate claim. Let me go ask the Ribbono Shel Olam whether or not he accepts your claim. And he goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kein benos slavcha dobros. Yes, they are telling that they are speaking the emes. Their idea is correct. And therefore, the entire parsha of Nachlos, right, got to be said over in their name. They were the ones who were zoche in the parsha of Nachlos. So what we see is that there were a couple of times that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the halach himself, and seemingly much lesser individuals were able to be mechabing to the correct halacha, and they were the ones who were able to teach us. They were the ones who were able to teach us these dinim. So this is an important yisod for us to understand. And Rashi explains that why is it that this happened. So Rashi gives one day that it was a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu for a slight amount of arrogance that he may have exhibited when he said when he set up the original court system. He says, "Adavar akasha yavo elai," that all the difficult cases will come to me. But Rashi's second opinion is not that it was any kind of payback for what Moshe Rabbeinu had done in the past. It was that really Moshe Rabbeinu was zochet to know this halacha. But in order that the Benos Tzlafchad, in order that Pinchas should be able to come and claim his chelik in Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu prevented Moshe Rabbeinu from knowing the halacha, and he allowed these halachas to come into fruition through someone else. Which is very, very strange. You would think that if the Gadol Hador, and in this case, the Gadol of Dorei Doros, doesn't know the halacha, then it's impossible that anyone else could know the halacha. And not only that, but to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bedavka, prevented him from knowing this halacha is almost scandalous. It's almost difficult for us to fathom that Hashem held Torah back from Moshe Rabbeinu so that someone else could come and claim it as their own. It's Torah's Moshe. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. Anyone who says anything in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, it's like, you know, it's his, literally it's his world. We're just living in it. You know, it's not our right. We're visitors to his Torah. We come and go in the Olam HaTorah, but he is the Baal HaBayis over the Torah. Kimat, you know, obviously the Rabbanu Shalom is the real Baal HaBayis over the Torah. Although once he gave it to us, really Moshe Rabbeinu was the Baal HaBayis. There's an interesting comment. I never saw the Sefer, but if you ever if you know someone who has a vast Sfarim collection, there are hundreds and hundreds of Sfarim that are attributed to Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, and he was one of the great super geniuses of all time, and he just wrote, I don't know how many hours in the day he lived, but apparently for at least every hour in the day he lived, he wrote another book. So there's one of the Sfarim that is published in the name of Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, explaining all kinds of really weird midrashim. So it was published in the early 1900s or late 1800s, I don't know, and it has a haskama from Reb Chaim Brisker. And in Haskama, Reb Chaim said, I'll only give Haskama if you take out one of the pieces in the Sefer, where basically there was a machlokes between, I don't remember the whole thing, there was this weird medrash, and the medrash explained a different machlokes tanoim as being a machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro, that Moshe Rabbeinu held one thing when he was arguing, and Paro held something else. And Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz said, yeah, the pshat is, that's the pshat in this machlokes tanoim, that you know, one mandomer held like Paro and one mandomer held like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Reb Chaim said, you're allowed to argue on anybody in Kol Torah Kula, but you're not allowed to argue on Moshe Rabbeinu because it's Torah's Moshe. It's his Torah. What he says is by definition the right thing if it's in the Torah. So if you're really going to explain that one of the opinions was Moshe Rabbeinu's opinion and the other opinion was somebody else, then somebody else is automatically wrong, and you can't then say, oh, there was a Tana that held like the somebody else. Even if, I mean, obviously the somebody else in this case not being such a great guy, but even if it was a really great guy, if it could have been a machlokes between Moshe and Aaron, you're not allowed to paskin like Aaron against Moshe because it's Torah's Moshe. So this was Reb Chaim's objection, and he said, I'm not maskim to the Sefer, you're not allowed to print the Sefer unless you take out this piece. So I think the story goes that they left the piece in and they just printed the Haskama together with this objection, which, you know, nobody really reads the Haskamas anyway, so they just think that, oh, it has a Haskama from Chaim, must be a very good Sefer. But he wasn't really masking to the Sefer. So if you read Haskamas, most of the time they say, like, I don't know this fellow, but my friend, his Rosh Hashiva, says that he's a nice guy, so it's probably a nice Sefer. You know, that's generally what most Haskamas say, but this one's a little more interesting. So we see that it is, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. It's no one else, it's not our Torah to play with, it's his Torah. And yet, along comes Pinchas, along comes the Bnei Slavkot, and here they are teaching Moshe Rabbeinu a thing or two. And Rashi's saying, yeah, it was meant to be. Makom inichulo, they left open, Kadosh Baruch Hu purposely left open certain amount of space when it comes to Chidushei Torah for others to enter in their opinions and claim their chelik in Torah. This is a very important yisod when we sit down to learn and we try to understand the Torah to the best of our ability. Right? Reb Shechter often quotes the famous comment the idea that every single Jew has a chelik in Torah. Every single person has a chelik in Torah, and we understand that it says, I believe it's the Zohar HaKadosh that says, Yesh shishim ribu osios batorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Now, if you look in the Torah, there are not 600,000 letters. It's not even close. But the yesod is that 600,000 letters in the Torah is the generic number. 600,000 is the generic number for the Jewish people, right? We know when the Jews left Mitzrayim, there's 600,000 men between certain ages, right? So 600,000 means that every single Jew has his own chelik in Torah. There's a certain area of Torah which every single Jew is necessary in order to fully realize that area of Torah. There's no, and not only that, but we know the flip side of that is true as well. We know what's the din. Sefer Torah shechiser os achas is posel, right? Who can tell us that best? I forgot. So Sefer Torah Shechisa Ros Achas is puzzle, right? So we know that if you have a Sefer Torah that's missing one letter, you're not allowed to use it anymore. So it's the flip side as well, is true as well. Not only do we have a certain chelik in Torah, but if we don't claim our chelik in Torah, then the Torah itself is somewhat lacking because we didn't go out there and accomplish everything that we could in our learning. And this is that idea that the Torah is this living, evolving entity that there was, and the Chazon Ish has this idea as well. It's a machlokes. Not everybody holds of it, but the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that the difference between Torah and science is that when you observe something in science, let's say you find something out about black holes that people didn't know before you discovered it. So in reality, this yesod always existed, and you're just making it public to the world. You figured out a certain property that black holes have that no one else ever knew. So yes, it's your chiddush, but in reality, you were just observing something for the first time and figuring out how it works, but it always had been that way. So the Chazon Ish Shita is that in Torah, it's not so. In Torah, if you say a chiddush, if you have a unique understanding of a topic that didn't exist in the world before you brought it out, so then that's something which is actually new. You actually created this idea in Torah that no one ever had before. Not everyone agrees to this, but this is his idea. So this is the idea that Rashi's telling us, that Kadosh Baruch Hu purposely left certain areas of Torah for us to be mechadish, for us to create and be creative in our learning and realize that there's so much that we can accomplish. And in reality, this idea that we can accomplish in learning, even though there were so many individuals who were greater than we were beforehand, is something we have to keep very, very close to our hearts when we're learning, because on one hand, we realize that maybe we're not the greatest person in the room, or even for the greatest person in the room, we might not be the greatest person in the neighborhood, we might not be the greatest person in the city or in the world. So we say, what's the point of me trying to say something? What's the point of me trying to come up with ideas or sort of, you know, have a take on my learning, or even just to understand what's there? The way my mind understands it, I'm never going to understand it as well as Rav Moshe understood. I'm never going to understand the way Rav Soloveitchik understands. I'm never going to understand the Vilna Gaon's understanding, or Rashi, or the Rambam, or the Ritva, or anybody else. And I'm not going to come close to their level of Havana in Hashem's Torah. So therefore, like my learning is so insignificant. It's not necessary to keep anything going. It doesn't have the same global impact, the same importance to it that great people's learning has. So while it's true we're not going to reach that level of understanding, we're not necessarily going to come up with nearly the quality or the quantity of chidushim that perhaps those great individuals of years past did, that doesn't make our learning less important. We have a certain chelik in Torah that only we can accomplish. And like we said, if we don't accomplish it, so it's not just that we didn't get our maximum out of our learning, it's that the Torah itself is lacking because we didn't do it. And therefore, we have not just a responsibility to ourselves to try to grow and accomplish our chelik in Torah, we almost have a responsibility to the Torah itself to try to make our donation, to try to give our way of understanding the Torah to the best of our ability. So, everybody knows the famous story of the Netziv when he goes up to Shemayim, he has a dream, he goes up to Shemayim and they ask him, well, where's this Sefer, where's that Sefer? Right? So that's a very lovely story. And it could be that when you and I are going to go up to Shemayim, they're not going to ask us about all kinds of Sfarim that we could have written and all kinds of yeshivas that we could have run. But every single one of us is going to be responsible for maximizing our Chelik and Torah to the best of our ability. So when we sit down to learn, and especially nights is the time, the Rambam tells us that a person really wants to be Kona Torah, the nighttime is the best time for it. And just from a more mundane perspective, if you talk to people who have been in sustained relationships for many years, daytimes are great and you get a lot done during the day. But you don't fall in love during the day, you fall in love at night. Right, if you know somebody who's been married or getting married, you talk about the nighttime conversations that you have, late into the night and schmoozing. It happens at the night. It's a more emotional time. It's a time where our heart is more open to things like that. So that's one of the reasons that Rambam says that the nighttime is mesugal for chidushei Torah. It's a time that's mesugal for growing in Torah, and it's our job to use our nights well. You know, obviously, listen, you have morning Seder, you have the time where you're most awake, most focused, but nighttime is special in terms of you want to really fall in love with the Torah. Nighttime learning is perhaps the most effective way to do it. Right? So this is the message I want to say over for tonight, that just that we should realize that just as Pinchas and just as the Menos Slavchad had their Chelik in Torah laid out for us, the Torah makes it clear to us and publicizes the fact that even the Adon HaNeviim and the Avi Avos HaRabban and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know this halacha because Hashem held it back for us. He left that Chelik for Pinchas. He left that Chelik for the Menos Slavchad. And we too have our Chelik that we can accomplish, and we have to work our hardest, especially at night, but you know, throughout our lives, and we have to work our hardest to try to make it a reality.